The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but I should raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. So we'll start with a little Catholic vocabulary quiz today. Show of hands, who has heard these descriptions of the various states of the Church or the communion of saints? The Church Triumphant.
Heard it.
Wow. We got to do better than that. The Church Militant or the Pilgrim Church. The Church Suffering, or the Penitent Church. It's good that our OCIA catechists raise their hands for all those. That's good. The Church Triumphant, the souls known and unknown, tucked in for all eternity, sharing the divine life of God. The Church Militant, or the Pilgrim Church, that's us, fighting to remain true to the gospel in a world with plenty of evil all around, on our journey through a broken world. And the Church Suffering, or the Church Penitent, those who've died in the flesh and are in a state of purification before joining the saints fully in sharing the divine eternal life. A common term for that is purgatory. So here we are, the Pilgrim Church, ostensibly remembering and praying for the Church Penitent to help them over the finish line. Is that what you're doing? Or are you just lovingly remembering your dearest friends and family members, praying for those who have died? I think I'm more of the remembering with love, for example, than imagining my three older brothers, Jim, Bernie, and Tom, needing my prayers now to bust them out of some temporary mini inferno. They did the crime, they can do the time. But it does beg a serious question. Do you imagine purgatory as a mini heaven or a mini hell? Your answer, I think, probably depends on whether or not you would conceive of being cleansed, being purified, as a punishment. Does it lead to a better life or does it lead to oblivion? It leads to full life. Now, am I the guy who can walk you through a systematic theological schema to prove that to you? Not a chance. But I can share with you some personal experience. Since being ordained 14 years ago, I've been to a lot of funerals. It's part of my job. And for the most part, much to my surprise, I have experienced that as amazingly joyful and a privilege. All those funerals have deepened my own trust in God's goodness and mercy. How does that happen? Well, for me, it happened by listening over and over again, paying attention to the spirit of the liturgies and the words we use in our liturgies for such occasions. As a little example, our church gives us a verse to introduce the gospel that I just read a few minutes ago for the All Souls Mass. It consists of the words Jesus uses to describe final judgment of the just in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, if you're following along at home. The words are these: "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I have a hard time saying those words without my voice cracking a little, because it is a statement of such powerful love, of such pre-existing love, before we were walking the earth, for us, each of us. We as Christians are empowered, we are encouraged, we are almost demanded to be optimistic about our graves. We heard it from St. Paul today. Our baptism into the death of Jesus is also and necessarily a baptism into his resurrection. And the prayers we use at every funeral liturgy, we celebrate with explicit language. Life is changed, not ended. This is not an empty platitude to offer some shallow comfort to get us out of an awkward moment. We can't deny the pain of losing someone dear to us. That's real, and it's deep, and it is often completely disorienting. But what we do is we struggle to see beyond our own personal and somewhat selfish pain, to remember the promise made to the one who's died and to all of us as followers of the risen Christ, the promise of sharing in the eternal life of God. Jesus in John's Gospel today is explicit as well. "I will not reject anyone who comes to me." In John's Gospel, there is this long passage called the Bread of Life Discourse. There, Jesus' words are these: "In my Father's house, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." What an overwhelming expression of love for our departed loved ones and for us. This promise, these amazing promises pre-existing our own lives, but carried through every moment of our own lives, are made real in a very mystical yet totally genuine way when we process to the altar in celebration of the Eucharist. So when you do that today, bring your loved ones with you. Bring your own hopes with you. And rejoice in promises bound to be kept.